The Itch, a poem by Diane Pierce. By the time everything is wet, I want to scream, tear all the skin from my ankles. Some invisible biting things have been going at them the whole time the hose is in my hand. The microscopic gnashing marks of their terrible insect teeth swelling up my skin with itching. My friend's therapist suggested to her that she start gardening to relax. "What's relaxing about it?" she asked me. "Absolutely nothing," I replied. Walking the dog around the neighborhood, I am all jealousy, wishing, fantasizing, that in my hand, scissors, a tiny Matahari pair, on my person, a summer frock, woven with deceptive, voluminous pockets, they secret neighbor flowers for me. I stand at the sink with bounty, with conspiracy smile. Blooms and blooms and blooms fill my empty vases. The dog pulls the leash after a rabbit and the imagined stolen blooms pop like soap bubbles. It's hot. The dog could go all day. Look at those flowers. How the hell does he keep down the weeds? Don't they say he's a drunk? She's never ever here, so who remembers to water all the potted plants? Damn it. Inside my pots, the dirt bakes, loaves of overcooked pumpernickel, burning the feet of the unlucky occupants. I feel hot guilt every time I run past them out the door to work. Shriveled with thirst, they beg, they accuse. I stop the walk because Oliver needs to pee on the fence post of number 103, or because I need to stealthily finger the tomato plants, sticking their ugly, bumpy limbs out between the white pickets there. Tomato plants, tomato plants. Tomato plants possess the most ambrosian smell, citrusy in a lime, salt, and tequila way, and I need to get it on my skin. In some yards, the stems and heavy red fruit tangle, a briar patch of succulents. Yet in my own yard, I am rewarded with only the ugly stems and palsied leaves. The effort is utterly fruitless. Get it? It's a joke. It means I have to buy tomatoes. The asparagus is perennial, and it does grow, and I eat it, freshly snapped off from the ground. All 8 spears that show up as they please over a season. I watch for them, always a raptor, hungry for the small brood of young from the ground dweller. One of them is purple, which is a delight, but they never rise up in a group, never enough for a meal or a garden pride of any sort. An Instagram photo would be silly. I muse about my asparagus, it's true. Wonder why it do as it do. Ramrod straight, it's no condoner. I think asparagus must be a loner. The tiger lilies do not have need of me. Get taller every season. Block everything else from being seen. Pushy, spoiled teenage girls. Each fall, I lift the bulbs and move them to the back against the house wall. But each summer, they have formed a phalanx in the front again. Imperious, bright, loud, in charge, mobilizing and pushing forward through the dirt, shoving the daylilies and hostas. Let's go, squad, let's go! Cartwheeling over quietly creeping Jenny, who never stood a chance of holding her spot. The lilacs began life large in 1-gallon pots, and they grow, but each year sees only one more bloom than the year before. So stingy, so selfish. There is never enough to cut to fill the house with perfume. Along the way to all this madness, an unhelpful bird or an unwatchful garden supply or some other careless thing of nature gifted me with daughter vine, the devil's hair. One day there was my scraggy back garden, strawberries, asparagus, purple-flowered plants, but the next morning a horror of stringy, screaming, blood-curdling hair covered the whole damn thing. Deadly, orange, twisting, there was no escape. No escape. No escape. The beautiful scabiosa pincushion flowers were wrapped up in death before I awoke, stabbed with haustoria, sucked dry by the vine that still reached out, insatiable to strangle another. I pulled it off with the vengeance of God himself, filled a plastic bag with it, enjoyed the eye for an eye suffocation. It was back in the morning. Little bits here, little bits there, sneaky, twining, killing, softly, quiet, strangling an African daisy. I went for it like a wolf for a tasty granddaughter, but a wasp's nest sheltered beneath. The nest was so tiny, the wasps so angry, they attacked, and it felt like the daughter had gotten into me too, the points of impact, an itch impossible to deny, an addiction, the itch. Yes, with capital letters, the impossible itch resurfaces each March, cannot be scratched or cortisoned away. The itch to own, to dig, to plant, to smell like dirt. I want to smell and smell like dirt, manure. Is there in the world a lover who can understand? The damned itch comes on while it's still freezing outside. Just one nice day and I am a goner. Standing in the rain as the cars whip by the roadside garden center, I have filled the trolley, filled my arms, and trying to maneuver it all to the register with confidence, like a pro, like it is nothing to give over green paper, 100 or 2, in order to bring them all home, shake loose the pot-bound roots, to dig, to plant, to try again.